Sign up for Cover 5, a free-to-play sports game that will change the way you view the tournament. Join Cover 5 Madness for free at Cover5.com and the Cover 5 app. The high score each day will win $1,000 through Sunday, March 20th games. Use promo code Chicago.
It's tip-off time.
The line!
Welcome to ESPN Chicago's Fast Break with Jay Hood and Chris Black.
Throws it to win it!
Goal! Listen on your phone through the ESPN Chicago app, on FM at 100.3 HD2, and on AM at ESPN 1000. Watch the show on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Jay Hood and Chris Black.
Welcome in to Fast Break on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, along with Jonathan Hood. We're talking Bulls and NBA basketball with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 1000. At 3 o'clock, we have White Sox baseball, as we're your home for White Sox baseball. Spring training in full swing down in Arizona. When we look at this situation with the Chicago Bulls, Jonathan, and what we saw last night, the Suns beat the Bulls 129 to 102, and they come off three straight losing efforts this week, against the Jazz on Wednesday, against the Kings on Monday. All games that I don't think the Bulls had a chance to win. And that's something that I think is telling as we look at this team. The weekly review of what we've seen from the Bulls, it was bad last night, but this has been a bad week and turning into a bad month as well for the Chicago Bulls.
There's no question about that. It makes you wonder, are the Bulls wearing down? Looking at this team and watching the game last night, Chris, you knew that the Bulls would have a hard time against a terrific Suns team, and here's why. Watching the game yesterday with the Suns, here's what you saw. You saw a smooth offensive play by the Suns. Passing was crisp. Devin Booker was aggressively looking to score, right? That scoring mentality, you can almost say a mama mentality that you get from Devin Booker. And then the thing that hurt the Bulls a lot, not just the outside shooting from the Suns, but also Ayton and McGee, the 1-2 punch there. You have Ayton and McGee, 32 points, along with 19 rebounds against the Bulls. The Suns had 52 points in the paint. And so that was it with the game, right? So now you're hurt from the outside because of Booker. You're hurt on the inside from McGee and Ayton with 32 and 19 combined. And so that's it for the Bulls. And so it just shows you the difference between where the Bulls are and some of the upper echelon teams in the NBA.
Absolutely. You know, Devin Booker, so smooth last night. He's so efficient with the basketball. The thing that I always marvel at in his game, for such a young age, he always has his feet planted underneath him, and he's ready to shoot from any position, even when he's driving with the basketball. And you saw multiple times, it's not just his ability to get his own shot. He creates for others in simple situations where he's just willing to pass the basketball. You mentioned Ayton. Ayton was good. McGee was good. You saw Elfrid Payton play, Elfrid Payton play well in moments last night too, finding McGee. So it was a situation for the Suns where it was almost like more of the same that we've seen with the Bulls. And the shocking thing that I continue to point to is the Bulls are now 0-15 against top three teams in the Eastern and Western conferences. Top three teams. So you're talking about the Suns, the Warriors, the Grizzlies in the West. In the East, you're talking about the Heat, the Bucks, the 76ers. The Bulls are 0-15. And the thing that I would continue to point out, and what we saw last night specifically, the Bulls were down 30 at one point.
Yes,
right?
They were.
They were down 30. So they're getting blown out by these top three teams, which if you're a Bulls fan, if you want to join the conversation at 312-332-3776, that's a lot of data. 0-15 against the top three in each conference at this point in the season, as we're sitting here on March 19th, that's a lot of data to start to kind of judge this team based on and to suggest that they are not a title contender. And they're far from it because they continue to get blown out in these situations. You can say there's an excuse here, Alonzo there, Caruso will be back here. You could give me all the different excuses. If you're losing games by four, If you're pushing them to overtime, you just don't have enough at the end. This team's getting blown out in the first quarter against Miami. They're getting blown out in the second quarter last night against the Suns, early third quarter as well. They just don't have enough. And it's interesting to kind of put this all into perspective on the full season, because it's been a fun Bulls season. It really has. It's been enjoyable to watch games each and every night that matter. It's just they're not good enough, and they're not going to be good enough when we get to the playoffs either.
Well, look at it. is all about, it's, to me, it's about perspective. And what it's about is, when you saw this roster, I thought that the Bulls would be able to win a playoff series, meaning that when you get in the second round, you try your luck. That was my thought in October when we saw the roster coming against, like, boy, you know what? This team has enough scoring around Zach LaVine to be able to at least get out of the first round. I still believe that, too, because I can't go back on my opinion. Yes, what we're seeing here is what DeMar DeRozan said after the game. He says, it's just snowballing downhill. That was his quote after the game as the Bulls lost to the Suns. Three straight losses, losing 8 of 10, fifth place in the East. I want to cut. We talked about the macro. Let's talk about the micro with this Bulls team, Chris, because let's start with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is a solid piece. He's an MVP candidate, but yet he's not a superstar. We have to look at what DeRozan was before he came to the Bulls. When he's with the Spurs or with the Raptors, he was always a piece to the puzzle. Always a piece, a solid veteran. Who wouldn't want to have a solid veteran like DeRozan on the team? I also want to point out that he's the oldest player on the Bulls roster at age 32. I know that he's turning the clock back like he's like in his mid-20s, the way he has shot the basketball, but he is the oldest guy on the roster. I'm not making any excuses for DeMar DeRozan. And by the way, the media and the fans shouldn't either, because there's this question now, like, is DeRozan fading? You know, is he tired? All this stuff. No, DeMar DeRozan's always been a solid player. All I know is that all I have is facts. Chris, 41% shooting, 50% of his shots only twice in the past 10 games. Over 50% only twice in the past 10 games. And through the first three quarters, what was he? 4 for 11. Ended up 6 for 14 with 19 points yesterday. So it's not him being tired. It's just the fact is that the Bulls are standing around waiting for DeRozan to have that magic. And again, he's 32. And I won't give the old, well, it's the dog days of the NBA. That's BS, right? When you're fighting, you got to fight every night for placement in the Eastern Conference. And the Bulls have shown you time and time again that there's a layer to this, right? They're in the middle of the pack of the East. They're not in the upper echelon. And DeRozan's a big part of that.
For sure. Absolutely. And I think last night specifically, you're looking at Phoenix, the third best defensive team in the NBA. As far as defensive efficiency, they're only behind Boston and Golden State. You saw multiple times. You could lay out that DeRozan had his 19 points, but in the first half, multiple defenders being shown at DeMar, defenses know what he wants. He wants that 15 to 10-foot jump shot off the corner, right off the elbow, right there.
File on extended.
He finds that spot. Mm-hmm. Even when guarded, he can get that shot off. We've seen it multiple times. But it also leads to others standing around doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And what we saw, especially in the second quarter, Alex Caruso was open in the corner on two separate plays. It wasn't necessarily DeMar DeRozan finding him. It was Vooch with the swing pass finding Caruso in the corner, and he missed the three-point shots. Now, the positive side of Caruso being back is your defense will improve some. But also, his offensive game isn't to the point where he's going to be a third piece to lead with DeMar and Zach. And I think, you know, you make a great point pointing out to DeMar DeRozan and his play as of late. In the month of February, he carried the team. He was averaging 34 points per game in the month of February. In March, 25.
Yeah.
That's a major difference. And I think that's the difference in why this team has struggled so much. They've lost 8 of 10. So they lose three games this week. But 8 of 10 in the larger scheme, they've had their three best players for that entire stretch.
I just want to make
entire
sure.
Stretch.
I just want to underline the point that DeRozan is not some go-to guy.
No, and you're right. He's not.
Right.
What he did in February was incredible.
Yes, and again, 8 straight games with at least 35 points and 50% shooting was great. I remember that. I was old enough to remember seeing that from DeRozan, right? But understand that the way this team wins is that has to come from Zach LaVine, which I will now turn to Zach LaVine. Okay, Zach LaVine, make me understand this.
Yeah.
So 12 points yesterday on 1 of 7 shooting. The positive in that is that he went to the foul line 12 times. I like that, right? He went to the foul line. LaVine was a facilitator early and then faded. For whatever reason, 12 and 9 just won't get the job done. If now again, two things at play here. If he's hurt, Chris, if he's hurt and can play with that knee, that's fine. If he's injured, then he should not be out there. I mean, listen, we saw him go to the basket with a dunk in the game yesterday, right? You went right to the basket.
Right.
But 12-9 is not going to beat most teams from him in the NBA. This is why everyone points at DeRozan's like, oh, MVP candidate. Oh, no question. He's an MVP candidate. But understand who DeRozan was before he came here, and that he's a guy, a professional scorer that can be able to be part, a really strong part of any solid team, as we've seen this with the Raptors and the Spurs. But Zach LaVine's effort, and I can't say, well, the knee's an excuse, because the knee's been a storyline for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
12-9 won't get it done. 1-for-7 from the field won't get it done. He attempted 1 3-pointer. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you this. If you didn't see the game, that's why Chris and I watched. The starters had 1 3-pointer. They scored 1 3-pointer. So you're not going to do that against most teams, including the Suns.
Right. And you look at Zach's game. Man, Devin Booker's a good defender. Malik Bridges, maybe one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire league. So no matter who he was going up against, the Suns have great defensive players on the perimeter. I'd say this. You also have to question this whole situation. The Bulls medical staff continue to point that there is no structural damage with his knee.
Mm-mm.
So as you go forward and you hope for the playoffs and you hope for Zach to be at his best in the playoffs, like, how do you manage the fact that he continues to say he has issues, but then they continue to say there's no structural damage, and you have to balance the two. Plus, he's going to be a free agent this summer.
Chris, let me be the first to tell you here on Fast Break. Let me just tell you that if LaVine and DeRozan are not going to be catalysts late in games, then the Bulls will get bounced in the first round. Seriously, like, it's one thing to look at LaVine and say, oh, yeah, you know, with the time running down, that's a guy that you can give him the ball. If you need a three, he'll give it for you. I agree with that, if he's healthy. And the same thing with DeRozan. DeRozan can make that clutch two that you need. They can do that. It's a good 1-2 punch. But if LaVine is less than the Bulls won't get it done. Say, for instance, the matchup is against the Celtics. And I know that Bill Simmons is, you know, quaking in his boots, like, I don't want to play the Bulls because you got a couple of guys, including Vucevic, that can knock down jumpers. But if LaVine's going to give you that effort,
right,
then it's not going to work. I mean, time is running out here in the regular season where you need to have guys either rested, ready for the playoffs, or having momentum going into the playoffs by playing. Donovan's got a lot of choices here. You got to decide what you want, right? I'd rather take on Boston than Philly in a playoff scenario. However, if you don't have LaVine well enough to be able to knock down jumpers, if he can't give you 20 or more points, it's over for the Bulls.
Bulls fans, are you concerned? You can call us at 312-332-3776. And also, Billy Donovan, he addressed DeMar DeRozan. Is he tired at this point of the season? We hear from the coach of the Bulls next.
Welcome back to Jay Hood and Chris Black, the hosts of ESPN Chicago's Fast Break. Watch the show on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, Fast Break flies on. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Chris Black, Jonathan Hood. It's Fast Break. Bulls, an NBA conversation with you here on ESPN 1000. We'll hear from Billy Donovan in just a moment. But first, Brad in Tinley Park wants to talk Bulls with us at 312-332-3776. Brad, let go. Brad wanted to talk about Zach LaVine. Brad wanted to talk about the idea that Zach has not played to his full potential as of late for the Bulls, and that's exactly what they need, is they need a second scorer. You mentioned in the last 10 minutes that DeMar DeRozan is not a superstar. Well, you can't go to battle without a superstar if you only have one star. You need at least two or three guys to be stars, so at least you could have something when you go up against teams like the 76ers with multiple superstars, the Bucks with a superstar, maybe the best player in the league, and others. And we know that the Nets are lurking in the Eastern Conference. So Zach really needs to step things up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would disagree with that Zach has let down here because, I mean, just one simple click on a game log, you could see the type of numbers he put up in a losing effort for sure because the Bulls have only won one game in the month of March, at least since March 3rd. They've only won one game. Yeah, they've only won one game, and that was against Detroit. Losses against Phoenix, Utah, Sacramento, which is inexplicable. I can't believe they did that. Against Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Atlanta. So they won one game this month. Great time to launch Fast Break. And we got no wins to talk about. Nonetheless, I look at this whole thing with Zach. I'd push back on he's got to do better. I'm just talking about yesterday's game where he has 12-9. There's no 12-9 games. It's very rare that you'd see that, right? Last time he scored 12 points besides the All-Star game is on February 11th against Minnesota in a winning effort where he went 12-8 in that game or 12-6 in that game. So, Chris, I just thought that yesterday's game was like, okay, the best thing he did, I love that he went to the foul line. I love that he went to the basket. But nobody else picked up the slack offensively. See, it's really in the regular season not about one or two guys. You know, to me, here's how I look at it. You tell me where I'm wrong with this, okay? Mm-hmm. Tell me where I'm wrong with this. If Io, Kobe, Levine, Caruso, or Vucevic, if they're not knocking down threes, the Bulls are going to have a hard time beating anybody.
Hands down.
I mean, and
no
I,
doubt.
I mean, I'm saying like Io, am I relying on Io and Kobe? Yeah, I am. I am because all hands on deck. There is no Lonzo Ball. So that's the only scoring that you're missing. You're not getting that from Patrick Williams. But that's got to be on Levine. It's got to be on Vucevic. Caruso can knock down a couple of threes, as we saw in the game against Phoenix yesterday. But if you're not knocking down threes, because clearly you're not going to guard. Right? You're not going to guard. Right. So if you're not outscoring teams, then I don't know how else the Bulls can win.
And it's a good point because look at the margin is so thin on whether or not they're going to be successful in offense. Even though they're, I think, seventh right now in offensive efficiency, it's all about getting to the free throw line. They only attempt 29 three-point shots a game. That's last in the league. They're the worst team when it comes to getting shots up. Now, you'd say, well, isn't it more important to make the shots? Yeah, absolutely. But the best teams in the league are taking at least 42 three-point shots a game. Which, so to your point, if the others are hitting their shots, it works. You can win those games. But if Io, Caruso, Zach, Kobe are not hitting those three-point shots, that means you have to win the free throw battle. You have to win the rebounding rate. You have to not turn the basketball over. Like, it makes things so much harder on yourself on the offensive side of things. And then it allows the defense to know, all right, this team's not going to hurt us from three. We can sag an extra step towards the lane on the corner three shooter. Why? Because DeMar's going to be right off the elbow. So if DeMar's going off the elbow and you as a defender are taking an extra step towards the paint,
yeah,
it clogs things up. But if you know that Kobe or Io or Caruso is going to hit the three in the corner, you then don't take that extra step to sag in. Now DeMar has more room to operate, and the offense starts to work. They just don't shoot enough threes, and it hurts the offense. Even though they are somewhat efficient, they can't compete with other teams who know that this is what they're going to do. And when you get into a playoff series, it's going to be focused on eliminating that elbow jumper from DeMar DeRozan because that's basically all they cook.
So I do like Billy Donovan when he speaks because it's not necessarily excuses, but they're reasons. So I know that we talked earlier about Billy Donovan, the head coach, and talking about DeMar DeRozan. I'd love to hear what Billy had to say because when I hear him, like, they're not excuses. We hear that in the league, right?
Yeah.
But he gives you reasons why things don't occur.
Here's Billy Donovan last night on DeMar DeRozan. Is he tired at this point in the season?
You know, I check with him, Joe, pretty much whenever we're together as a team, how he's doing physically, because I've looked down probably as you have. And you look at the number of minutes he's played, and it's really been pretty high. But he's takes
I'm
care.
Like more of the mental.
Yeah, you know what? He's the one thing about DeMar, at least from my perspective, is he's physically and mentally a tough guy. He really is, and I think he's trying to help our team get that. You know, because listen, he's had setbacks and things, and you got to kind of. You know, I've always said this. It's, you know, you get scarred, you get beaten up, and you got to go through it. And it's about how you respond. But I know the one way is if you respond where, you know, you're not fighting as hard or have, like, this internal fortitude and belief of, like, okay, this stuff I can know I'm going to be able to do to get into the game. I think it really becomes hard. We've got to develop that.
That was Billy Diamond. He also talked about the Suns trapping DeMar DeRozan, trapping Zach LaVine, because you know that those are the two guys that can get the offense going. Here's Billy Diamond last night addressing that, what the Suns did on defense.
Yeah, but you know what? Those guys are passing it, so I don't mind that. You know, as long as the ball's moving and we're finding open shots, like I thought we created some pretty good looks. And I certainly, and DeMar's a really, really smart player and an unselfish player, so he's not going to, if they're going to send two at him, we're going to have to live with that. You know, it's if someone's going to do, we were trying to, you know, trap Booker too, and to his credit, he got the ball to his hands. That's what ends up happening a lot of times. So when they're sending some people at him, we got to find the open man, and the ball's got to kind of move, and we got to try to generate the best look. And, you know, I think DeMar's willingness to pass is important. He's not going up against, you know, double teams and trying to play through him or around him or over him. He's getting off it when he sees two, and that's the right play to make.
Billy Diamond last night in Phoenix after the Bulls lose to the Suns 129-102. There you go, Jonathan. He addresses that, but also DeMar DeRozan at this point in the season, he seems as if he's starting to wear down.
Yeah, he says that physically and mentally that he thinks he's fine. And I would agree with that. I would say that DeRozan, I don't believe that he's wearing down. I just don't think he's as effective as he once was, because we have to understand who he was. Just because he was Superman with that 8 straight games, at least 35 points and 50% shooting, Chris, doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he was going to be. See, he's never been that go-to guy. He was carrying the load when the Bulls needed it. We have to know what the scenario was. When you had so many players out, including LaVine with COVID, or Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball. So he had to carry the mail, and he was able to have a renaissance, which is great, right? But understand who he is. He's not someone that's going to be doing this every night. And this is why the Bulls have to be able to do this as a team. Yeah. Simply put, if DeRozan and LaVine are your 1-2 punch, those two have to bring it every night. And if not, if you want to include Vucevic in that, I can do that as well, because I know he can give you a double-double of ass. Now, because it's the NBA and we're getting closer to the end of the regular season, the playoffs, with the rotations getting tighter, who else can you depend on to be able to knock down shots? Is it Io? Is it Kobe White? Who else can be able to do that for you?
I thought Kobe had a good game last night. He had 14 points in 25 minutes. He went 5 of 11 from the field. He went 2 of 6 from 3, which you would like him to at least hit one more of those attempts. But again, back to my whole theory, they don't shoot enough threes. They only took 27 in the entire game. So Kobe getting 6 up is more than okay with me.
Well, DeRozan's not going to give you he's not going to give you 10 looks. He'll give you maybe 1 or 2.
Yeah, DeRozan will give you 1 or 2. Yeah. I think Kobe, in the game that he had last night, and what you saw him bring to the table in the second quarter when the game was so close, I like that. The problem is, it seemed as if when Phoenix had their second unit out there, they started to expand that lead, where as the Bulls continue to roll out different rotations, when DeMar and Zach weren't out there together, it's like that's when things started to not go well for the Bulls offensively. And then on the defensive side, you know, Phoenix just passes the ball really well.
Yes, they do.
And they find the open guy, and they know how to kind of wear you down possession after possession based on just good, efficient, smart basketball.
You know what I don't like? So watching the Suns yesterday, and we've been watching them all season long, right? I mean, they're the kings of the West right now. And watching those driving kick opportunities, those driving kick looks, and you got four Bulls looking up at the basket, looking like they're trying to fly a kite. I mean, it's amazing. You can catch, by the way, some of those screenshots at Chris Bleck on Twitter, or a little Steven No action. Look for those little screenshots, because Chris will put that in all week, where you see like the ball's going up. And it's not like the Bulls are running over to try to guard. They're just waiting for the rebound, like it's the All-Star game, right? You can't do that, Chris. You have to be able to at least get over and to be able to put a hand up. And I saw a lot of that yesterday, of here's a driving kick, and there's an open look for Craig. There's an open look for Bridges. You know, there's an open look for Holiday. There's an open look for Booker. And it's kind of like, so you're just not going to get over and recover, right? You're just going to have four Bulls within the paint, right?
Just hanging out.
And then the driving kick, and then the Bulls are just looking up like,
just looking up.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day. Oh my God.
Splash.
Like, and it's the NBA mentality, right? Like, that's all right, we'll get him back on the other end. No, you won't.
Well, and see, that's what kills this team, right? Like, because isn't the defensive side of it how you have to lead your mentality, your identity. Like, that has to be fixed for you to win going forward. The play against Utah on Wednesday night, that almost killed me, where Zach, out of a side out of bounds play, is just standing in the paint. His player, Alexander Walker, is in the far corner. The ball is inbounded, skipped to the far corner, and Zach is just standing in the paint. Now, Stacey King on TV blamed Caruso for arguing with the ref. That wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Caruso was with his man. Yeah. He was with Donovan the entire time. Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
So that kills me. That's the type of stuff where people look at the highlight dunks and they say Zach's a star, but then there's these defensive lapses that continue to happen. And this is when we were told that this was all going to be fixed because now they're winning games.
Right.
Right. So, like, the stuff that didn't matter when the Bulls sucked with Boylan, it's okay with Zach because when they want to win, he'll be better. You're on the road against Utah, a good team, and you're just standing in the paint while an open three is flying up. You nailed it. There are Bulls just standing in the paint while threes watching. Are raining down on them.
Sorry, we get them back. That's all right. That's good. Let them get that shot.
Like, that's not how it works.
You can't do that in the league. And just a little side note for Alex Caruso. Hey, man, you're not getting calls.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, a lot of complaints. I understand that someone's got to complain. But, hey, Alex, I mean – just and I give him his flowers too, because 1-on-1 against Booker, he was very solid. You see those couple of possessions where it's Booker 1-on-1. You're gonna take on Caruso. Good luck, right? On the perimeter, he's gonna make it tough for you. You can probably still score on him, but it's gonna be very cumbersome if you are a shooter like Booker. And we saw that yesterday. There's a couple of highlights out of there defensively for the Bulls, but clearly the Suns outclassed the Bulls. Just the passing, and again, people will say, well, the Bulls are shorthanded. Well, there's no Crowder, there's no Paul yesterday, and the Suns were able to get it done.
Tracy McGrady this week said something about the 98 Bulls that had Jerry Reinsdorf respond last night in the Bulls pregame show. Are you aware of this story?
What did he say?
I got to bring this story to you next.
This is Fast Break with Jay Hood and Chris Black. Follow us on Twitter at @TweetJayHood and at Chris Black. The Fast Break continues right now on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Chris Black, Jonathan Hood, talking basketball with you. NBA and the Chicago Bulls. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. And then we have White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000, your home for the White Sox. White Sox Guardians today?
Yes, it is. 3 o'clock.
All right. Your home for White Sox baseball and spring training right here. You'll hear Len Casper and Darren Jackson with the call of the game today at 3 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
I'm very interested in what you're telling me here regarding Jerry Reinsdorf, who you don't hear very much from very often, but there's something going on.
Apparently, I saw something yesterday, and it caught my attention. The Bulls Talk podcast Twitter feed for NBC Sports Chicago promoted that Jerry Reinsdorf was going to, quote, set the record straight on the Bulls pregame show last night on TV. And I saw that, and it was a picture of Jerry Reinsdorf and a picture of Tracy McGrady. I thought to myself, like, what record needs to be set straight? So then I Googled Tracy McGrady. Apparently, this took place on Wednesday. Tracy McGrady was on the Knuckleheads podcast.
Oh, Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles.
Yeah, right. Former NBA players. Boom. They were a great connection with the Clippers back in the day. So on the Knuckleheads, here's McGrady. They were talking about, do you remember when Tracy McGrady was, he just finished up with Toronto. He's going to be a free agent.
Right.
And Orlando was courting him. His free agency that summer, the first time he landed as a free agent.
Yes.
They were discussing that at the time, it was Orlando and Toronto were really the only real options.
Yeah.
For McGrady in that free agency. And this is what he said.
You know, Miami wanted me back. And Chicago wanted me so bad.
Did you almost get traded, though, for was it Scotty?
That was draft night.
On draft night.
Draft night, I almost got traded for Scotty. They, the night before the draft, Jerry Krause called my agent, got me up 12 o'clock at night, had me go to a secret location to take a physical. it was about to go down, but MJ made the calls like, yo, if y'all do that, I'm retiring. So he stopped that real quick. And then when I was a free agent in 99, 2000, after that season, he came back again trying to get me, Jerry Krause. When I tell you he rolled out the red carpet, bro, I mean, boy, as soon as I got off the plane, they had a band. They had the Cheerleaders. They had Benny the Boom. They had him there. I'm walking through. I'm like, wow, they had the red carpet, bro. Yeah. So I go there. I go to the Chicago Cubs game, man. Elton Brand, we at the Chicago Cubs, man. I threw out the first pitch, and I'm sitting in the dugout, bro. And then I look up, and they got the plane, you know, with my advertising on. I was like, damn, welcome to Chicago or whatever it said.
I
don't remember. And then they sent me a tape, bro, Oprah. Mm. Oprah speaking to me personally, personalized message. Yeah, I'm like, well, y'all went all out. But again, man, it was just, you know, Orlando. Because I used to ride by the arena all the time, and I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to be playing for them one day.
Okay, so that was Tracy McGrady on Wednesday. Did you catch a thing right in the middle about Scottie Pippen and 97? Scottie Pippen and the draft before the 1998 season. This is what McGrady said.
Draft night, I almost got traded for Scottie. They the night before the draft, Jerry Krause called my agent, got me up 12 o'clock at night, had me go to a secret location to take a physical. It was about to go down, but MJ made the calls like, yo, if y'all do that, I'm retiring. So he stopped that real quick.
So that was Tracy McGrady. Have you heard that before?
I have never heard that before, but you can understand how Krause did business. Very quietly, clandestine. He didn't want people to know. I believe that story is true. 90% of that story, I believe, is true, for sure, because of the way Krause operated. You remember the 99 draft, right? That's the, and for those, if you're driving, oh, no, I'm sorry, the 97 draft.
Yeah, 97, because it would be before the 1998 season.
Yeah, so that's the Tim Duncan draft. That's the Tim Duncan, Chauncey Billups, Tim Thomas draft. McGrady was ninth to Toronto, but Tim Duncan was taken first, and that really jump-started San Antonio, right? So I believe a lot of that is true. The Michael saying he'd retire if you traded Scottie for Tracy McGrady, I don't know if that's true.
Well, but that was a theme in The Last Dance, the documentary that was made by ESPN. That was a theme, was that if Scottie was going to be traded to Seattle, right?
Yeah.
That
yes,
he didn't want to be a part of it, right? Like that was a theme within the documentary. Or am I misremembering? Was a theme in the documentary. If the two were split up, Michael would retire. Wasn't that a theme of the...
What I know is that there are clearly issues between Scottie Pippen and Jerry Krause. That's well documented in the documentary.
Sure.
That they did not like each other. This is why, you know, Krause actually made Pippen whole, because he was able to give him a sign and trade to Houston after the championship years, right? After the championship, because Pippen was just going to walk. He got a sign and trade, and he went on to greener pastures. I don't know if Jordan would have actually retired. And here's why. This is the same Scottie Pippen that says, I'm not going to F my summer up.
Yeah,
And didn't want to play initially for that last championship season.
And he was hurt in 98. His back, right?
Yeah. Well, yes.
So there were issues there. Like, even though he was a great player at the time, he was not fully the player that you would expect. Okay. So that's what McGrady said on Wednesday.
Right.
So yesterday, the Bulls Talk podcast, Bulls Twitter for NBC Sports Chicago tweet out that Jerry Reinsdorf is going to set the record straight on the pregame show.
Okay.
So you tune into the pregame show, NBC Sports Chicago, and here you go. It's Jerry Reinsdorf on camera with Chuck Swirsky on NBC Sports Chicago. This is what Reinsdorf had to say last night.
I understand that there's a lot of truth to this story, but the one part that's not true is that Michael Jordan in any way communicated with the Chicago Bulls his displeasure over the trade. We had won five championships at that point, and Krause came to me and said, look, I'm not sure, I can't guarantee you, I don't know how strong I feel about winning a sixth championship. But I have a chance. To trade Scottie Pippen to the Boston Celtics for two very high picks. I think they're picks number 3 and number 6 in the draft. Mm-hmm. And Krause, if we had done that deal, he was going to take Tracy McGrady and he was going to take Ron Mercer. And I thought long and hard about it, but my decision came down to this. What would our fans want us to do? Mm-hmm. And I concluded that our fans would want us to win a sixth championship, even if it meant that we weren't going to be that good afterwards. And that's why I vetoed the trade. I never heard from Michael Jordan about it. If Krause heard anything from Michael Jordan, he would have had to have told me about it. But after this podcast, I contacted Michael Jordan and asked him if there was any truth. And his reply to me was BS. And that's the case. I don't even know if Michael was aware of it. Well, he certainly never communicated to us, never threatened to retire. And the only reason that trade didn't go through was I felt that our fans wanted a sixth championship, and I wanted a sixth championship.
So that was last night on the Bulls pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago. That was Jerry Reinsdorf last night setting the record straight to Tracy McGrady from Wednesday on a podcast earlier this week, suggesting that he on draft night would be traded for Scottie Pippen, but Michael said no. What do you think of all this?
That Jerry nixed the trade. Now, you would think that I would have heard that over the last 20-plus years, right?
Right.
That Jerry stepped in and nixed the trade. He said he did, and that Jordan was not aware. I think Michael was so mad at Scotty because he didn't get the surgery in the summer to get ready for that sixth championship that if McGrady came along, Jordan had no autonomy of the roster. Let me make sure that's clear, too, because there are certain guys that Jordan wanted, and Krause kept saying no. But you didn't see Jordan retire, did you?
No.
And, I mean, he wanted Walter Davis, but he never got Walter Davis. So Krause was able to supply Michael with role players that he thought he could play with. So there's a number of guys that Michael wanted that he never got. So if Pippen was traded and they brought in Tracy McGrady, Michael wasn't going to retire. Now, as far as Reinsdorf saying that, well, you know, I'm the one that nixed the deal because he thought it was best for the fans, it's the same guy that didn't get surgery in the summer.
Right.
The same guy that was talking bad about the organization. He was bad about Krause, his guy. So I don't know. I think that that's strange.
Jerry, listening to the Knuckleheads, he subscribes?
I don't.
I guess I'm just confused because, like, this story didn't even make, like, major news here in Chicago this week. Like, why did he feel the need to respond to something that was just said on a pod? Like, I don't understand how this came to be.
I thought it was very odd, too, for that to just be, like, you know, Jason Goff just throwing it to that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I didn't think that was me. But I think that Jerry wanted to, I guess it was told to him, and he's like, oh, I have an antidote to that. I got a story.
I need to respond here.
I remember that. Let me, while you're here, Chuck, sit down. Let's talk about it, right?
Marcus and Harvey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Marcus?
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to comment about the whole T-Back situation. Yeah, I heard that years ago, and I heard the whole thing about how Jordan went ahead and threatened to retire if Scotty was traded for T-Mac. So I'm taking T-Mac's side. I learned over the years never to trust ownership.
Yeah.
So, and then Jerry, he wants to, you know, save face. That's why he's going to put that out there for the fans. But, yeah, Mike ended up retiring anyway. I wouldn't have made the trade.
You know what? But if Tracy McGrady's with the Bulls, do they not win the championship anyway?
Well, as a rookie, I would guess he's not as good as what Pip was able to contribute, even though Pippen was hurt.
True.
But isn't this the question, right, for this whole conversation? Bulls fans at 312-332-3776. Would you have rather had one championship, 1998, or 16 years of a Hall of Fame career from Tracy McGrady? Right? Because that's what you just heard from Jerry Reinsdorf right there. He made the decision for the fans that they wanted that last championship, six. Hey, it wins a lot of conversations and debates, right?
Yeah.
Mike's six compared to others, right? They don't have six like he does. But if you're a Bulls fan, you would have had 16 years, theoretically, of Tracy McGrady as a Hall of Fame player.
Oh, okay. Not 16. It's the Bulls. Because it's still Krause. You get six.
You get three, and then he jumps to free agency.
Probably. That's like you did with Toronto. He was 18 when he was with Toronto.
Yeah.
18, 19, and then when he was 20 years old, he went to Orlando.
Right.
He was 20. So, like, ideally, because it's Krause, you get him for a good 3 to 5 years, maybe, before he goes, okay, screw this, right? But ultimately, you are jump-starting the team because, okay, the first couple years, he didn't play that much, but he blossomed into something special. You know, the highest he had was 32 points a game with Orlando when he's 23 years of age. So he's going to be something special. but I would have liked to see the Bulls get off to a faster start than Jalen Rose or E-Rob.
E-Rob, Jalen Rose, and the Twin Towers there with Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry.
Right.
Yeah.
As they lost their 50-something game, and I'm in the locker room, and Sam Smith says, "What are you going to do about this, Tyson? What are you going to do? We're going to win by any means necessary." And then Sam slowly turned off the little recorder and slowly walked out and made a left turn. Goodbye.
This is enough of that.
This is ESPN Chicago's Fast Break. Everything Bulls and NBA in a convenient two-hour package. Or if you miss your shot for live, a Fast Break podcast is available on the ESPN Chicago app. Now back to Fast Break. Here's Jay Hood and Chris Black on ESPN 1000.
I'm looking at McGrady's stats.
Yeah.
And I understand, right? Like, a sixth championship for the Chicago Bulls. Like, I get what Jerry Reinsdorf was saying, that he wanted to give the fans that sixth championship. McGrady was great, though. He's a Hall of Fame player.
No question he is.
And what we were talking about is that group of players that the Bulls had post-Jordan era.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of nonsense, right? Like, some of the stars or the free agent signings or the lead players that the Bulls had in the early 2000s, those are some of the worst teams in the NBA. It was a dark period for Bulls basketball.
I don't understand why you have a problem with Ron Harper still being around.
Uh-huh.
And that was Kukoc's era now. That's Kukoc.
Yeah.
That's Brent Berry.
Ooh,
that's
Brent Berry. That's
Corey Benjamin. That's Dickie Simpkins.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to Dickie. Doing broadcast work for Fox, you know, that's Rusty LaRue. Krause wanted to turn this team over so badly to prove that he can rebuild a championship, which is nonsense.
Right.
You're the greatest player ever. If you aren't looking at it and saying, hey, Jordan and all these guys are leaving, let's get some young talent here that can be able to develop. He wanted to put everything around Tony, post-Jordan. And it's like, imagine that now. Now the Bulls are the Mavericks because you're putting everything around Tony. Tony would be well-established, double-digit guy, go-to guy in the clutch. A lot of clutch shots for Tony, as you recall.
It would have made sense if he didn't spend the draft picks on the two centers that didn't pan out, right? Like, if you had players in there who could actually play around Tony Kukoc instead of going for the, you know, Eddie Curry and the Tyson Chandler, like, that actually would get you somewhere in today. Like, if we took that team and we turned it forward to, like, today's era.
Yeah.
But, like, that was the thing, is that he was trying to build around two centers who couldn't play. And that's what, like, think about it. I know we're doing super revisionist history, but if you go back to the 2001 draft.
No, Reinsdorf's the one who brought it up, so.
Yeah, right. Like, he had to set the record straight. You know, Tyson Chandler goes second in that draft. Paul Gasol goes third. If you have Paul Gasol paired with Tony Kukoc, right? Like, now you're talking about that's a combination.
Oh, sure.
And then Eddie Curry was the fourth pick. Well, you could pick any number of guys that followed after. Like, Shane Battier was someone who was much better than Eddie Curry as a pro. Mm-hmm. Joe Johnson went 10th in that draft. Richard Jefferson went 13th in that draft. There's a lot of very good players from that year. Zach Randolph went 19th, even though I think the timing of his career wouldn't have made a lot of sense with the Bulls, right? Because he struggled early on in his career, didn't find his footing until later. But there were a lot of good players in that 2001 draft that kind of, the ground was already shaky with the quote, rebuild after the Jordan era.
Right.
But that's what did it in. The two top five picks who completely flopped. And Tyson Chandler eventually turned into a great pro.
Yeah.
He won a championship with the Mavs.
Sure.
One of the better defensive players when he was currently playing, but what the Bulls drafted him to be, it never panned out.
Just imagine, turn of the century, and you're trying to turn the clock back 25 years to build around bigs when a shooting guard got you to a championship. Just think about that, Chris.
Yeah.
Just for a second. Like, you got away from the bigs.
To prove a point.
Yeah, you got away from the bigs when they laughed at Rod Thorne, it's like he's in Kraus said, we're going to build around a two guard. They were like, you're not building around a two guard. That guy's too little. They called Jordan too little. Remember the documentary Mark Eaton?
Yeah.
Mark Eaton's like, you can't win with that little guy.
Can't do it.
He's 6'6". He's a little guy, right? But then you turn the clock back and just like, you know what? We're going to build around bigs because that's where it was, right? In 2000, 99, 2000, you just had to have two twin towers. What is this, 81?
That's incredible.
That's why Kraus halfway sucked at his position.
Think about the first four picks of that draft. Kwame Brown, Tyson Chandler, Paul Gasol, Eddie Curry. That was the first four picks in the 2001 draft. That's crazy.
When you built around a two guard to win six championships.
Right.
All right.
All right. It's Jonathan Hood, Chris Black. It's the Fast Break. We're talking Bulls and NBA. We address the Bulls. They lose to the Suns last night. We talk about it next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.